Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished young individual, a fellow YPO, a YNG member, Emma Hock from Munich, Germany. Emma, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here, Ashutosh. I'm very curious.
Thank you. Emma is the YNG, which has said YPO Next Gen Global Impact Officer. She's a one young world ambassador. She's studying politics, psychology, law, and economics. And as I mentioned, she's a part of the YPO family. So anyone who's a YPO or a part of the YPO family is always someone who's very special. So Emma, let's talk YNG and your role as the Global Impact Officer. Tell me, for a lot of our viewers and listeners, what is YNG?
Yeah, to explain YNG, I first have to step back to YPO. So for our listeners, YPO is the biggest CEO network in the world. There are 30,000 members, more than 30,000 members, more than 140 countries. So basically what YPO Next Generation is, so YNG, is bringing all these children of the CEOs together in their own network. We're all between the ages of 18 and 30 to really create the next generation of leaders.
Okay. And as a global impact officer, what is your role?
So what has been happening recently within YPO is a trend towards how can we utilize this huge network and these resources that we have to create change and impact in the world. Okay. And gladly enough, they are involving the next generation, so us. And so what I'm doing as the first global impact officer is to really set the foundation for all YNGers to increase and create their impact and find their position in the world.
Okay.
My personal belief is that any company, any entrepreneur, does found obviously their company on making the world a better place. So it's naturally with our generation even more that we are impact driven, or that impact is in our lives, whether we are in the economy or in politics or an artist. So I really just try to find the spark within YNGers and help them to leverage and use this network to grow their impact.
Fantastic. And are the 30,000 plus YPOers, is there any particular focus areas where they want to create an impact, or are they looking at a lot of areas?
Obviously, always a lot of areas. There are four major impact networks, for one based on people, one based on peace, one based on the planet, and one on sustainable businesses. So again, pretty much everything covered. In general, I love applying the communication of the SDGs created by the UN to really categorize areas of impact within when we communicate within YNG and YPO.
And, I have a lot of respect for the millennials and the Gen Zs because of the incredible amount of awareness you have about impact and about the world and climate and so many other things. But do you see this as something which is across the entire YNG network?
I'd say so. Again, I think there is a different way of growing up in a way. The next 10 years look very different to us. So for me, my 20s, or the thought of founding a family is very, very different than it was to my parents. So I do think it is very much ingrained. I do see also a trend, especially with this very, very privileged young group of people that we are, to look at, okay, how can I really use this position? How can I rewind my family business? How can I really create a company that has a profound purpose? And I think that's the key word. Purpose-driven is a whole new definition and a whole new goal in our generation.
How nice. And I always said that, you know, the world that was messed up by people of my vintage is in very good hands when I talk to young people like you. Thank you. Emma, tell me, you know, as you are rolling out and talking to so many young YNGers across the world, what are some of your challenges and some of your learnings?
When I try to answer that question, I can bring it usually down to one word, which is human. There are the challenges and the opportunity. Challenges in that sense that sometimes processes can take so long just because we are limited in time and effort, which is fine, which is normal. We all have lives and things to deal with, whether it be professionally or personally. It can lead to efforts like the global hackathon that we started in the beginning of the pandemic, where it took us 1 week to get together more than 200 YNGers on this virtual hackathon. And the efforts around it were insane to build this community. It was beautiful what everybody put into this within 1 week. And sometimes then building a brochure can take 8 months. Correct. You know, like it's just like this imbalance of how much accountability can I give people sometimes. But there are the opportunity, as so many relationships or projects are based on relationships. Everything that I build up here is based on a network and connections that I'm being introduced to, that I am nurturing, and that I can see grow into actionable items. I think that is amazing to me.
Incredible. So, you know, when I was reading about you, you're focusing on the environment and helping refugees. So let's first talk about the environment. What are some of the challenges, in your opinion, the world faces?
I think that's the thing. It all comes, whether it be migration or food insecurity or wars even, it all comes down to climate change. And that's a given for me. It's the source of most of the things out there. And I think with any actually impact topic, not just climate change, it all comes down to awareness. Whether it be for my parents' generation or just in general people out there, because most people will focus on topics that they are aware about that need focusing on. So friends of mine who grew up with family members with special needs, they will focus and dedicate their life to inclusion. I personally did not grow up in that way. And I grew up in Munich, where I experienced the refugee wave of 2015. So my focus is refugee and migration as well. So awareness plays a profound role for a lot of people. And especially when looking at YPO and these 30,000 CEOs, I wonder if everybody had one project that they are aware about and passionate about to give back and see how they can utilize their resources, the impact would be incredible.
I agree. And, you know, thank you for talking about this point about, you know, what you are aware of. I never ever thought of it from that perspective, but you're so right. I mean, you know, your focus will really be on there, those areas that you have experienced personally. It's fantastic. Thank you. So staying with climate change and the environment, you know, Bill Gates recently said that the world has only 10 more years left to make substantive changes in the way we think about the environment. I'd love to get your perspective.
Yeah, when you say that, Ashutosh, what I feel is fear. It's something that I, with my friends, talk a lot about. And again, what I mentioned earlier about the founding a family aspect, for example. I grew up or still really want to be a mother, for example. However, does that really make sense to put a child into this world in 10, 15 years? And that's a question a lot of us have. And when I voiced that to my parents for the first time recently, they could not relate at all. They were like, oh, don't worry about that. We'll be fine. And maybe we'll be fine. But I do think that most of us have that little pessimist in the back of our minds. And I think it's good because, I mean, in the end, I'm a positive person. And I will try to make use of that pessimist, giving me more energy and more drive and more ambition to succeed at more and to drive more projects or initiatives and goals forward in the next few years to make sure that we have substantive change and that I maybe even can found my own little family in 10 years.
Incredible. And I'm sure you will. You know, I'm probably going to give you a response like your parents do, you know, and I say the same thing to both my sons. Don't worry, things will sort themselves out. But I'm beginning to appreciate the concerns. And I do believe if all of us put our shoulder to the wheel, changes will happen. And I'm sure they will. But also talking about the environment, one more question on the environment before we move further. when you talk environment to the YNGers across the whole world, what is your perspective on the impact of culture on environment?
I love actually that topic, as when working together with different regions within YNG or also other networks, you see a whole different focus on what actually the issue is, but also on how to solve the issue. And I actually had like a personal enlightenment story at the One Young World Summit recently during the summer. I personally, growing up in Europe and Germany, being at a very leftist university, following a more or less vegan diet to reduce my personal carbon footprint by reducing the amount of meat I eat. And so the summit was in Munich, Germany, and we had food trucks, and more than half of them served meat. And I already had this like whole process in my mind. How can they even call themselves Impact Summit when they serve meat? They should all be vegan or at least vegetarian. Okay. What the hell? Eating my vegan burger. And next to me sat a person from Uganda, having her normal meat burger, looking at mine and being like, what's that green stuff on there? Pointing at the rocket salad, which is pretty common here. I explained it to her that it's commonly used and pretty popular. And she explained to me how she never saw that, would never eat that, even where she's from. And we got into the meat culture and food culture and back to the very basics of course, where she was from, she can still see the meat running around basically on the market before she eats it on the same day. Whereas I explained to her, there's a horrible meat production industry in Germany where meat is sold below its value, actually, which drives me to a whole different decision than to her decisions in her life, and which got me a little bit more grounded and back to, okay, only because I, as a European privileged white person, decided for my vegan diet, it doesn't have to mean for the whole world to eat vegan to combat something like climate change. So it comes back every single day in the weirdest ways, I guess.
Amazing. And what I'm really enjoying about my conversation with you, Emma, is that you are actually learning about it based on your own experiences. And you have no worry about saying that I have learned something about my own perspective, which you just explained to me based on the vegan diet that you spoke about. Wonderful. So let's move on and talk about your other area that you work on, which is the refugee crisis. Tell me a little bit about the work that you're doing here.
So our original main goal was to look at how can we ease it for refugees and migrants in Europe to get a better path or easier way into the job market. Speaking about this with other CEOs and a network of CEOs, it was kind of a profound answer of like, of course, we'll just ask them if they can employ them. Well, COVID hit, the ask was very difficult, response basically not really there. So we took a step back and decided to connect refugees and migrants with mentors, YPO mentors, where the response was incredible and really, really rewarding in that sense to see there is eagerness. And again, you just pointed out my personal experiences. I think it also comes down to general, always personal experiences, and that you could see with this as well. A lot of people did not feel ready to employ people in their big businesses, but were ready to embrace a personal experience and journey with a refugee and migrant to help them out. And I think we found a very good point there to start, and maybe in some period of time, then transfer refugees and migrants to YPO companies. If the emotional foundation maybe for it is even ready. So it's again, very interesting human dynamics happening here that we are working with.
Correct. And again, you know, your country, Germany, has actually been an incredible country to have received millions of people, you know, and it set the standards across all of Europe. But there are a lot of changes that are beginning to happen across all of Europe on the position on refugees. I would love to get your perspective on that. And this is not from a political perspective.
Well, how do you make it not political now? I get that it's a very personal debate. And even within local, so also the CEO spheres are here, a very different point of views, only because I have money doesn't mean I'm super liberal or so, or my family has it with open arms and can say, yes, it's not only a working class people. So you cannot really, what I want to say, push it into different aspects of the population who say we don't want or we want refugees. So I find it super hard. And I think all back again, personally, I would say it comes back to fear. Fear of what happens if you let these people in. But for me personally, I can just argue how I feel about why I want to let them all in. It's, for me, it comes down to facts, as at least in Germany, we have an aging population. We just need workers in any aspect, not just in the healthcare industry, but everywhere. Period. Why don't we take those highly educated people in that come to us? Because the people that end up in Europe usually are already the top of those countries where they flee from, because they have to have money to pay for their incredible journeys here. So for me personally, it's kind of a no-brainer. Why can we not include them? And it was not even their choice to necessarily end up here. And also from just a humanitarian perspective, and maybe it's also back to my generation that we grew up in a globalized world, in a very diverse world, and maybe more used to it as well. But there are so many, when I talk about it, it's so warm in myself. I feel the emotions of welcoming people and really wanting to include them, because I think that's the future, period.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice. I mean, you know, it's amazing just talking to you. So, Emma, I'm going to move to something that you are doing probably from a startup perspective about your mobile app called Wonder. Tell me about this app and what are you doing with it?
So our goal with it is to enable human connections. And we do this by giving people a journey of icebreakers, so a little bit different questions than you would ask usually, to bring their conversations to a next level. And we aim to do that with people who already know each other, so that you can really reconnect with your partner, your colleague, your friend, or your sibling. And you'll always find something new about them with when you ask these questions, something that will surprise you even after 20 years. And that's what we want to create and ultimately lay the foundation for less conflict, for more understanding, because it all comes back again to human connections, to the emotional connections you make with people. And this can really create this beautiful basis for better relationships, better family dynamics, better work dynamics, and better results if we already talk about the professional life.
And is this an app that is available on iOS and Android already?
Yes, so we do have it on iOS already. So you can just go Wonder without an E app in the App Store. And we are working on the Play Store version right now. We're testing it. We are still a startup. We just launched in November. I recently saw a startup curve on LinkedIn, which was like, so that's the process we're going through right now. So very honestly, it's still, we're trying to find our focus, trying to see where is the proper, because we now found the overall pain point. Where do we find our focusing pain point now? Which audience do we focus on? So that's still something in the works. And that's something that we will hopefully create more and work on more in the next few months.
So before I ask you one more question, my comment to all our viewers and listeners, do check out Emma's app, Wonder, W-O-N-D-R. I'm assuming it's in English, and then take your call. I will certainly go and check it out after my conversation with you today. So Emma, tell me what, how you also mentioned that the app is helping in holistic development. Help me understand what this means.
So part of our team is actually also Wanjir Flori Ahama, who is a facilitator and very much in the sphere of how can you properly connect with people. So she's the one creating those beautiful journeys. And she figured that it helps if we can connect on a emotional, mental, spiritual, and also physical level. So if all those points are aligned, better connection can succeed, not with just other people, but also with ourselves, which is why we, a classic New Year's thing, launched the Wonder Challenge in January. So you can also tap into yourself, because there we play a little bit with this. If you love yourself, you can, then you can receive love from others, or then you're ready there. And she plays also around with that. We already focus quite a lot on mental aspects in our lives through work, through learning. We already focus quite a lot on the physical aspect in our lives. I think we've all been through probably the YouTube workout phase during the pandemic. But there's not a lot of spiritual things happening, like showing gratitude, which I personally try to do every single morning, or meditating. Or I don't want to be one of those gurus saying that again, and it's preached everywhere, but a little bit of this connection with yourself at least helps me a lot. And then the emotional connection. Brené Brown just released a book that my mom gave me for Christmas about emotions, talking, breaking down all these emotions. And I think even coming with a statistic, I hope I'm not too far off, that the average person can only name about 4 emotions or so, I think. It's really an incredible low number when we think about maybe even back to our teenage years, how many emotions we experienced there, the whole load. And it's really back again to talking about it and to pinpointing it and finding the right names and definitions. So I just started reading the book, but I already can recommend, just for the sake of having it as a like fallback, like a Google for emotions. Look and be like, what am I feeling right now? Is it anxiety? Is it being overwhelmed? Is it just stress? Or is it fear even? And that's what we're also trying to create, because when you are more in line with yourself, what you feel, and then the next step is you can even communicate it. The person you communicate it to understands way more where you're coming from. And then for the next conflict, the simple problem of who finished the jam in the fridge first can be tracked down into, okay, is there something underlying for this? So my roommate and I actually use it, or more or less every single day, and it's beautiful.
Amazing, amazing. So I mean, I'm going to move to the last segment of our conversation. All my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. So I've got time for 2 or 3 questions for you personally. My first question is that, what would you say, as you look at an incredible life you've had so far, what would you say are 3 key milestones or pivot points in your life or your career?
So the first one was starting dance. I started dance at a very young age, and I had the luck in my family that was very much supported, because my dad lived by the aspect of always following what he enjoyed most and following passion. So he brought that into our family as well to support us in what we're passionate about. So I experienced already at a very young age what it means to do something I'm passionate every single day. Second one is quitting my dance studies. because after high school, I was in the classic, what do I actually do now phase, and decided to study dance, because if you want to go into that direction, you have to start early. Why not just try it? It was personally for me a too quick transition from high school, where I've been already very busy with extracurriculars, boyfriend at the time, friends, dance, and moved on to the next system and next 8 a.m. getting up every single day. And that was a phase where I learned to listen to myself, to realize when something is off, and do something about it. And so I decided to quit my dance studies after 3 months. And since then, I think I learned to tap into myself.
Fantastic.
And the last one,
No, go ahead, go ahead.
And the last one would be engaging in YNG, obviously, and having this snowball system of contacts and networks and projects that happen. So those are my 3 milestones.
Fantastic, fantastic. So my next question to you is that, you know, you've spoken a lot about what you're passionate about. For a lot of our young viewers and listeners, I'd love to get your perspective on what are some of the core values you believe in.
Honesty and transparency, 2 big ones that were lived in my family that I still bring into the relationships that I nurture in my everyday life. And gratitude, which I practice every single day by writing down 3 things that I'm grateful for, and which makes the appreciation of the small things in life way easier. And I don't think that's a value, but I do believe in the very good core nature of people, which obviously also influences the people I meet and understanding them.
Wonderful. And my last question to you, Emma, for all the stuff that you are doing, you know, whether it is with the environment or the refugees or your Wonder mobile app, who or what inspires you?
It's really the people around me. Mm-hmm. I think I had that a lot recently where I was just like, wow, I'm so lucky for who I'm working with. Mm. Why am I so lucky? And maybe it's also I have to give a little bit of credit to myself for choosing those people to work with. But maybe it's also just a snowball effect and domino effect of going from the next awesome to the next awesome person. But they really, I love the expression, make my heart sing when I think about the meetings that I have, the projects that I work with them, together with them. Almost every single thing there is just beautiful just because of the people around me.
Fantastic. And on that note, I just want to say thank you and wow, what an amazing conversation I've had with you. Thank you for talking to me about the environment, about the refugees, about all the stuff that you're doing. And thank you on behalf of YPO as a member for the amazing work you're doing for YNG as an impact. I mean, I wish when I was 27 years, when I joined YPO and I was in my mid-30s, I wish there was something called a YNG then. You know, because I think a lot of awareness is being created amongst the YNG network of our, you know, YPO members. And I think that is going to really change this world. Thank you again for everything that you're doing. Good luck.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.